This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books. Still 2 hours to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. FEF Friday's tomorrow with our Comedian of the Week, but we got a little special
Bryson
treat
Brown.
For you.
Bryson Brown, Comedian
Bryson
of the Week
Brown
tomorrow.
And today,
Rob Mungle coming in to studio to hang out for a segment and chit-chat about comedy and anime and the Whiskey Brothers and what he's going to do now that he's retiring from comedy. He's got a big show this weekend on, I don't know where it is. I think this is the Seeker Group. But, yeah.
I'm sure he'll tell us.
Should be fun.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, Rob's a wild man.
Okay.
Yep.
So we don't shy away from having the wild ones on this show.
No, we do not. You got to watch him. He likes to say the C word a lot.
Oh, does he?
The actual C word.
Charlie? Not,
nope. Oh. The actual C word. So.
Oh.
Got to be careful.
Well, Nick better be on his toes.
Stay by the dump button, Nick. Oh, look. Why are they re-airing this? Oh, I swear. They're just CP3's confidence, the X factor for Rockets. That's what's on ESPN right now. They're saying that his confidence is the X factor. Confident in what? How is his confidence the X factor?
He's never shy in confidence. He's shy on health in the playoffs.
Yeah, the X factor for CP3 on the Rockets is he on the floor? That's the X factor, especially in the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay.
No question about it.
I guess I don't know what intern or producer wrote that for them, but that's an awful take.
And I will give him credit, though, in the post-game interview, in being up front, and Charlie touched on this on his show, too. He hit the three-quarters court shot, and he wasn't afraid to take it.
That was awesome.
And he was also quick to point out that most guys won't take it because they don't want to screw it. And that is a total fact. And guys pay attention to that more than you could ever imagine. He also had that highlight moment where he went through the five hole of the young kid that he was kind of
talking,
but he missed the
that.
Shot. Yeah, if he made the shot, and remember, same exact location as cleanup on aisle five or whatever when Harden embarrassed the Clippers last year, would have been ideal, perfect in so many ways. He just didn't make the shot.
He had a certain swag about him last night. I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say swag. That's we don't use swag anymore, right? But there was he had his attitude last night, the way he was messing with Clippers on the floor and all that. It had this air of like, this is still my house. This is my home. Yeah. I'm more comfortable here than I am anywhere because I played here so long. He just had this sense about him on the court last night that he felt like he belonged. And he was kind of like, this is my show. I'm running all this, both sides. Y'all don't worry about it. I thought it was interesting to see his attitude during the game and how he's messing with everybody. But I like the matchup because of how many former Rockets are on the Clippers and him coming over in the trade and everything. And now you got Lou Williams coming out and saying what he said.
I was going to say, you don't think, and we talked about those comments yesterday, but you don't think that didn't fire him up a little bit
too?
Sure
it did.
Absolutely it did.
So it was fun to watch that ass whooping. And if that's a preview of round one, 3-6,
so I got into a little of that, too, because of the fact that there wasn't a whole lot to talk about in that game. It was a blowout. The Rockets were in control the whole way. But lo and behold, the Clippers broadcast evidently didn't have anything to talk about either. And if they did, it wasn't going to be complimentary towards the Rockets, because one-time Houston Rocket Don McLean, I'll give him his props. At UCLA, he and Tracy Murray had a hell of a run. But Don McLean didn't do a whole lot in the NBA, and he got the job kind of on a last-second deal because of the fact, if you remember, the Clippers had Bruce Bowen, the ex-Spur. Bruce Bowen was pretty highly critical of Kawhi Leonard a year ago. The Clippers are so worried that that might affect Kawhi Leonard picking the Clippers in free agency in the offseason that they got rid of Bruce Bowen before the season. They needed to find somebody. They went into at least some UCLA ties. They got Don McLean. Don McLean comes out last night watching Harden, and instead of being complimentary, has all this mess to say.
So here he is. I just feel like Ralph's style, what Harden does, is manipulating the game somehow, like almost like cheating it somehow. And I don't really have a thought beyond that other than I'm watching something that isn't basketball. Like, to me, basketball's player movement, ball movement, design plays. Not just a guy walking it up and isolating every time. And I just feel like it, and that's why I brought up that point earlier, that who else could do this? It's not like he's, you know, it's not like within the system he's getting all these numbers. The system is built for him.
Okay. That was the this is a guy, right? First of all, I'll start with who else could do this. I mean, and the fact that he's
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron could do it.
They do.
Kevin Durant could do it. Russell Westbrook does it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say Westbrook and LeBron are probably the two best examples, because his point is nobody else's complete and entire offense centers around one person. It's all in the flow of the offense and this, that, and the other. And that's not necessarily true.
Take it a step further. When he said, he's basically talking about, this is not basketball. Well, then tell Allen Iverson that.
Yeah.
Tell Michael Jordan, from time to time, when you looked at especially early Jordan years, yeah, it was put it in his hands and get out of the way. Kobe Bryant,
Olajuwon.
Same thing.
Olajuwon.
And you're right, from a low post perspective.
The entire offense for the Houston Rockets, the 2 years they won championships, everything funneled through Olajuwon, which is what made him so special, is because not only was he such a great scorer of the basketball, he was a prolific passer.
He made household names out of Matt Bullard,
Robert Ory,
Sam Cassell, Kenny Smith, Vernon Maxwell. It all funneled through him.
Charles Barkley for the longest time. It all funneled through him.
How many
times did you hear he's backing it in? Gene Peters backing it in. That was Barkley. Backing it in. They would iso ball with Barkley on the Suns and other places where he played. I don't know if they did so much with the Sixers, but with the Suns for sure, they did a lot of iso ball with Charles. Maybe with the Sixers too. But that's how basketball's always been played. When you have a guy that's head and shoulders better than anybody else, everything runs through him.
We have that clip from the old Rockets broadcast where Gene Peterson did the whole ball in the dream, backing it in, mm-hmm, kicking it up, backing it in. Yes, he scored. Well, you know, Gene, that's the second time they went into Olajuwon until they stopped him. Foley and Peterson, every single time, over and over again.
It all funneled through him.
That was the way they did it. And here's the thing. Why would you stop because it works, right? But if you're Don McLean, why didn't you stop when you were behind? Because the big thing here is, this is the same broadcast team. Now, granted, he works with Ralph Lawler. Ralph Lawler's a Hall of Famer. He's going to retire at the end of the year. He's old. Okay? But Ralph didn't say a whole lot. But this is the same team, these two guys, and Ralph said a whole lot, that about a month ago was talking about the Clippers and the Mavericks, and that Dirk Nowitzki was part of this awful trade between the Mavs and Milwaukee, in which Robert Tractor Trailer was traded to Milwaukee for Dirk Nowitzki. They went on after that.
I remember this.
And started talking about where Robert Tractor Trailer may be now.
Yep.
And inferred a YMCA over 40 league in Detroit. Sounded a little something like this.
Dirk Nowitzki playing probably his final game in Los Angeles as a member of the Dallas Mavericks and the National Basketball Association. We made light earlier that he was traded from Milwaukee to Dallas in exchange for Robert Tractor Trailer. I was wondering what Robert Tractor Trailer was doing today. Totally slipping my mind, I guess Don's mind, but he passed away a couple years ago, so may he rest in peace, and our apologies.
Yeah, apologies. Absolutely. I didn't realize that.
The reality is Don Nelson, the Hall of Fame coach, helped make that trade, and he was roasted in Dallas for the trade, bringing Nowitzki, this unknown 7-foot white guy from Germany, for crying out loud. And Trailer was a big hulk of a man, had a great deal of promise, and it worked out pretty darn well for Dirk Nowitzki. And if we offended anybody, we're really sorry about that. It was totally inadvertent and unintended.
Absolutely.
And send the rest of your texts and emails to Don McLean, courtesy of the LA Clippers.
So a couple things here. One, the actual clip that McLean said, he went off on, they were laughing the whole time, and he said, yeah, he's probably playing in the over 40 league, right?
Yeah.
Then on this clip, and that's Ralph Lawler with him, the fact that one at the end, you make a joke of it. Send all your comments to Don McLean, yuck, right? It's not funny. Secondly, what Lawler says isn't any better when he says, I mean, when you want to talk about the trade, I mean, he is a 7-foot white guy that blah, 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 blah. You couldn't quit while you were behind. This is a second-rate, second-class type broadcast in L.A. It annoys the hell out of me that someone isn't critiquing it somewhere and going, fellas, slow down, man.
The funniest thing to me is what's been pointed out about it several times, which I would have never known had I not read it on Twitter and then heard Charlie point it out as well, and a few others have pointed out the fact that Don McLean was the first guy busted for steroids in the NBA.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you're out here saying that Harden is cheating when your ass is definitely a cheater. Like, you cheated, and you were popped for it. Like, you were suspended for cheating. What Harden is doing is, it's so funny that guys like Don McLean want to come out and say that Harden's a cheater. Harden is, they run everything through him. You know what Harden is? He's a freaking genius.
No question.
Because he looked at the rule books, at something that nobody else has done, and developed a shot that now Luka Doncic and other players are starting to use. The step back three. When he first started doing it, people were like, that's a travel. That's a travel. This guy's a cheater. That's a travel. No, it's not. You get two steps before a shot. He figured out you can take them backwards just like you can take them forwards and do it behind the three-point line and still get the shot up, and everyone else is mad that they didn't think of it and perfect it.
Here's the other thing, Barry.
So give Harden credit for being smart and intelligent as a basketball player, and stop calling him a cheater. He's not cheating.
People aren't going to give him credit.
And the swing through, the swipe through is the same thing.
I was going to say, people aren't going to give him credit because they're going to say he just fluked out and had a move in his repertoire that ended up being unstoppable based on the rules. No, because I was going to bring up one. You brought up the other one. The swinging of the arms, hand down, man down, was last year. Before that, the Euro step.
Yeah.
And everybody, so if you want to look at it, he's done something to improve his game and add a move to his repertoire each and every year that puts him head and shoulders amongst the best of the league, because above the rest of the league, because of the fact that he knows how to maximize his game in the system.
Did he invent the Euro step?
No, he just invented using it on a regular basis in the NBA. He didn't invent it.
Okay.
But
I mean, the step back three, pretty much his. I don't recall anyone else doing the step back three. The swipe through, the same thing. Like, I think he figured out if you put your hand out and I swipe through.
Kobe did that pretty consistently for a while.
Okay.
The hand, and that's where Mark Jackson originally got the hand down, man down from.
Uh-huh.
But I think, again, he perfected it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you have to give him credit as opposed to calling him a cheater, because I think he's very intelligent on the court. And furthermore, to say that everything funnels through him, so he's putting up those numbers, you also do realize that he led the league in assists for a while, and he's in the top 10 as an assist man. And the fact that when Clint Capella went out, that the offense did change. It was different. But with Capella, it doesn't funnel through him necessarily, because he's running the high pick and roll. You can't run a pick and roll by yourself. Just the fact that he's the ball handler. Guess what? Guess what the job of a point guard is? The offense runs through him. He's the point man. The whole offense funnels through the point man. That's his job. You're just being a hater.
Here's another question. You're the owner of the team, right? You know you got one guy that's unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He's going to get points every night. He's going to get you wins every night. He's going to sell tickets every night. He's going to make sure that everybody pays attention to you every night. So because you feel like it's not the way basketball is supposed to be played, you're not going to do that?
Yeah,
you're just going to walk away from ticket sales and marketing and wins and playoff appearances and everything else? Shut up, Don.
It's the same thing, like, you know, Magic Johnson and the Lakers and everything ran through him. He was a point forward, and it all predicated. I mean, this is his job, is to get other people involved, and you see it. Like, everybody is better because of James Harden.
Yep.
On this team. It's the same thing with Olajuwon. Everybody's better. He finds open men. It's not his fault they don't knock down the shots.
No doubt
about
it.
But he creates, man. That's just him being a hating-ass hater. That's all that is.
No question. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to talk about Rockets or anything else, hey, give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Evil and a bozo nightmare. Ban all the music with a phony gas chamber, because one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in the bag with the rerun.
ESPN 97.5.
Dedicated to all the DJs and dance crews all around the world.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two, 3 hour show. Rolling along, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you guys taking us along on the go. We were talking a little Rockets. Mito wants to get in here.
Pass that down.
The subject line, puzzling at best. Mito, what's up?
Hey, man. So, first off, Booker T gave his number out, so I can ask a WrestleMania question. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
I'm just playing with y'all.
I'm ready to talk to you in July.
I'm just playing. I know y'all hate wrestling.
I don't hate wrestling.
The question was on the Rockets, man. If D'Antoni leads them to the semifinals again and they lose again, will he be in any trouble getting the boot? What y'all think?
Nope.
I totally
appreciate
you
calling me,
so.
I don't think he's going to. If you get to the Western Conference Finals 2 out of 3 years or 2 years in a row,
right.
No, you're not in trouble.
And the man likes him.
Yeah.
James Harden likes him, and that has
a
lot
big of
Harden
thing,
likes
Nick.
Him. The
That's
owner
a big
likes
thing.
Him.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think Tillman likes him. But I think the bigger thing these days that people don't understand is in college, for the most part, the coach has control. Okay, and it's gotten a little bit looser because of the fact that players are one and done, and you know, you need them to make your program look good. But it's always been where the college ranks, the coach was in control because you needed your scholarship and the playing time and all that other stuff. But in the NBA, and we've talked about this on numerous occasions, most players make more than the coach, unless you're a Hall of Famer. So therefore, if you don't get along with the best player, the superstar who's making all the coin in this case, then if there's a choice between the two of you, chances are you're gone.
Yeah, and the point about confidence in him and when you he won the battle of Carmelo Anthony, and in a roundabout way he won that battle with Daryl Morey. So it tells you a lot about Mike D'Antoni within the Rockets organization, because Mike D'Antoni did not want Carmelo Anthony. The players wanted Carmelo Anthony, and Daryl Morey, it was one of his darlings. It was one of those players like Dwight Howard that Daryl Morey wanted on the Rockets. And he pursued him before, just like Howard, and he didn't get him once, but he finally got him. And at the end of the day, it proved to be a train wreck. And the guy that won, because he's gone, is Mike D'Antoni. And the players wanted him here because they had relationships with him, and the GM. D'Antoni won. So, that tells me all I need to know about how much the organization as a whole, the players, the GM, and the owner, how much they respect Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Not for the time being. And granted, it would be a bad look if James Harden continued. You know, like, let's say James Harden always had a problem with the coach, and it was more than one or two times. And over the course of his career, he's had a problem with, let's say, two or three head coaches. It might be a bad look, but even then, James Harden is still going to have the leverage over the head coach. And so it's important that James Harden likes the head coach.
It's important
for D'Antoni's future as well.
That's how basketball is in general, though. I mean, when you think about superstars, if LeBron James doesn't like you.
Look at the Lakers situation and realize that Magic and Rob Pelinka can tell you they're going to pick the coach. LeBron's picking the coach.
Absolutely.
And he did it in Cleveland. He'll do it again in LA.
And it's going to be Juwan Howard.
And the other thing is D'Antoni did a podcast, I think, yesterday that people were airing out there. And he basically said, because they were kind of questioning, you know, some like if he would think his job wouldn't be in jeopardy and things he would. He goes, I'm too old. He actually cussed, but he was like, I'm too effing old to be worried about stuff
Love
like
D'Antoni.
That. And that's what makes him great, because again, the players relate. He wouldn't be the offensive coach for USA basketball with all the dream team like players of this current USA basketball team for the Olympics if people didn't respect the hell out of him as a coach and his offensive mind.
And let's be real, a lot of people were not thrilled about Mike D'Antoni being the Rockets coach after Mikhail.
Very true.
A lot of us, including me, I'll be the first to admit that I was like, I'm not so sure. I mean, he did get the Suns to the Western Conference Finals and the playoffs quite a bit and all this and that. But defensively, at the time that he got here, that Rockets team was an awful defensive team. And my thought was, man, you went out and got the wrong kind of guy. You needed to get someone that could coach defense, not offense. But to Mike D'Antoni's credit, and you know this happens in leaders a lot, they recognize their own deficiencies and they're not afraid to address them. And this is exactly what it did by going out and getting Jeff Bezdelic to be his defensive coach. And there are times during the season when you will see Mike D'Antoni sitting on the bench and Jeff Bezdelic is up coaching the team while they're on defense. So it shows you that he's willing to let him do his job, which is the mark of a great head coach.
It's called maturity, because at the same time, he's able to look back and reflect too and say, you know what? With all things being considered, I should have given Steve Nash the ball more. Yep. He's one of the greatest shooters in the history of the game. And if he would have run the offense in Phoenix the way he runs it for Harden, for Nash, he might have been more successful because of the fact that he had such a good player. So at this point in his career, what you said and what I said means there's a coach that's learned from his mistakes, he's matured along the way, he knows what his shortcomings are, and he's able to handle them appropriately.
Somebody said, Barry, did you just say Juwan Howard is the coach for the Lakers? Yeah, that's the rumor. Did you hear about that?
I have not heard Juwan's name in the mix, but of all the people that I've heard thrown into the mix, most of them have a connection or respect level with J. Kidd. Tyronn Lue's name came up just like in Cleveland, to be his guy again, because, you know, LeBron doesn't have to teach him how he likes to do things, because you already know from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Jason Kidd, because of a respect level, is another guy that was on the list. Juwan Howard just makes perfect sense because of the fact that he was with LeBron in Miami.
He's been an assistant, and I was trying to find. I had seen it a couple different spots, but that's the big rumor right now.
He's due for a job, one of these times, because more so than the ex players that got their jobs right away and then didn't know what to do with them, like Derek Fisher, like Jay Kidd a little bit.
Yeah, Sporting News a day ago, Juwan Howard, new betting favorite to become next Lakers coach.
I can see it. So I really can. All right, your guy's coming up next, Barry.
Rob Mungle's going to be in the Heezy, talking comedy and anime and the Whiskey Brothers and everything else. Going to be a fun time. He's a crazy dude. Stick around. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There you go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It is The Big Show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And as we roll along, we previewed this, we teased it. You wait no longer, as I don't know what state of mind he's in, per se.
His headphones in.
As Barry set up your headphones, he just didn't plug them in.
What kind of operation you guys run?
Rob Mungle is here.
Oh, we're on a budget, Rob. You get the headphones, you just don't get the headphone jack to plug them in.
Okay, that's what's good, man. Yeah. Ah, there we are. Hey.
Rob Mungle joining us on The Usual Suspects. Thank you for being here, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
You were talking about just the peaceful, easy way you've been getting through the last day or so.
Yeah. Like 12 it's hours been, of sleep.
Easy breezy, sleeping like a baby. No.
What happened?
My tooth has been killing me for 2 days.
Okay.
And then last night, the rain started coming in, right?
Yeah.
And midnight woke me up, and I'm like, ah, oh, man, my tooth is, ah. And then after that, it just exploded.
Your tooth.
Yeah. And it was like, the tooth said, no, we're not sleeping anymore. We're done. We're done with sleep. So, you know, just get ready. And so I had to go to the dentist this morning. They gave me a root canal.
Emergency root canal on the day of a radio interview and a few days before your retirement show.
Yeah.
How awesome of a timing is that?
Yeah. Well, I said, hey, look, I got to do the radio this afternoon. And he goes, ah, well, the Novocaine, it'll still be there. No.
No.
There's no Novocaine.
So, scale of 1 to 10.
It feels like I got hit with a metal pipe.
Really?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10. How bad's the pain right now?
Now it's about a 4.
Oh, that's better.
Because they fixed it.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like you just got...
Because they mess with it, so it's sore.
Yeah, and so they get in there and they dig around and they...
I thought you could come in here talking like Harry Carey, like with gauze in your mouth. Or the Godfather with the cotton ball in your mouth.
And... Oh, man. I felt great as soon as they hit the numb. I was like, okay, we're done.
I'm good.
And
like
I fell asleep during the root canal.
I've done that.
I fell asleep during the root canal.
I have had 2 root canals, slept through both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. So, yeah. But now I'm here.
Oh, and so.
And as a public speaker, let me tell you, this is great.
There you go.
This is great. And he goes, well, I'll give you some Tylenol. It's like, no, man.
Tylenol?
Come on, doc. We're not doing that Tylenol noise.
Can you give me some heroin?
Yeah.
Please.
Let's get the street stuff.
Smoke some crack.
Yeah. Hard. Let's go hard.
Nick's in. Yeah. Right there.
Yeah, I know a guy that maybe can get you some heroin.
Yeah.
Shoot it
and
right
in there.
If he
doesn't get it for you, he will partake.
Cool. Outstanding. We'll talk after this little puppet show here.
Feel expensive.
Yeah.
Now, you're here because you have a show this weekend. Tell the people, first of all, where
the show is. The show is this Saturday night at The Secret Group.
Okay.
The new comedy club in town. It's down off Polk.
Yes.
Down there in Edo.
Edo.
As they call what used to be the Third Ward. Now it's Edo.
Gentrification.
Yeah, because they had to fancy it up. It's Third Ward, and then you put a sushi restaurant. Now it's Edo.
That's right.
So that's how that happens.
Nice.
Yeah. You can't, nobody wants to live in Third Ward.
No.
You don't.
Sushi.
Oh, it's so fancy we're down now. There, and it's actually my retirement show. I'm retiring from comedy.
Yeah.
And so this is my farewell to Houston show.
Why are you retiring? First of all, how long have you been doing comedy?
This is my 28th year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you retiring, and why are you calling it quits now? You should have quit 20 years ago.
Well, you know what? I should have retired years ago, because now I'm getting all these calls from places I used to work. Hey, come back for one more trip. And so I got all this work. We're doing the little farewell tour, but I got all this work. I should have done this years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like one of those Oriental rug places that just is always closing down. You drive past. Yeah, you drive past. You're going out of business again.
Club 6400 on Richmond. You're still there. It's just under a new name.
Yeah,
you come back as Mob Rungle.
Like the Eagles who've had their farewell tour for like 17 times.
Cher, how many times has she retired?
Yep.
Nice. Rob Mungle, the Cher of Houston comedy. I like it.
If I could turn back time.
Now, why are you calling it quits?
Yeah. I'm moving on to some other projects.
Okay.
They were going to take up time. I couldn't do road work anymore because of it.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? Why don't we just have a farewell party and we'll play some of the greatest hits and hang out with all the fans and friends and we'll have a good time.
Are you still going to?
I was going to say, Barry was talking about the fact you do a lot of voiceover work.
Yeah.
Is that part of some of the projects?
That's another part of it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'm doing a couple more conventions this year. And
you're big in that.
What are some of the voices you've done?
Stuff you've never heard of.
Well, but we have a lot.
I'm a local semi celebrity.
But we have Comic Con.
We have
folks
a lot of
the
nerdy
listeners. Yeah. Do podcasts.
So the biggest one that's on Netflix is Harlock Space Pirate.
Oh, love that show.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
No one's seen it. Ghost Stories is huge in this anime world.
Right.
If people who are not they know.
People that are big anime fans just went, oh my god, that guy.
I'm the cat.
Oh,
the cat.
Is that what you're billed as?
No, it's a cat. It's a little demon-possessed cat.
You don't let them call you the people.
What is the voice?
The cat.
Do the voice for the demon-possessed.
Well, this is a funny story. Okay. I have made my career in anime on being a very bad impressionist. I cannot do good impressions, right? Say, like, I do, this is my Michael Caine. Listen, I'll do my Michael Caine for you. It sounds like this. I won't do that, Mr. Wayne. I won't watch you die. That's a bad Michael Caine. Okay,
yes.
So if somebody says do a Michael Caine, I can do a bad one.
Uh-huh.
But if they say do an English accent for an anime, I'll do a bad Michael Caine.
And it works.
We've
out.
Got to launch the missiles now, Mr. Wayne. We've got to go in there now. And so it makes a great anime character.
That's brilliant.
And so the cat, they said, okay, this guy's demon possessed. Can you do a Jack Nicholson? And I said, I can do a very bad Jack Nicholson. I'll talk like this. Yeah, this is me. I'm a cat. And they go, that's perfect.
There it is.
And like, so,
it's
kids, I'm going to get you kids. I'm going to tear you up limb from. Yeah, that's it.
That is amazing.
It's a bad Jack Nicholson impression.
I've
got dozens of those.
You've got dozens of bad impressions?
Dozens of bad impressions.
One of my favorites is your lawyer. And one of your bits that you do the in your divorce case, Joe.
Oh yeah, the Southern.
And you said that was also a bad impression of somebody else, right?
Yeah, that's a bad impression of Kevin Spacey in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I declare, I look around here today and I see all these fine young gentlemen from some of the finest families in all of Savannah.
You've made a living, basically.
That's awesome.
Terrible impression.
Yeah, and so I don't do them on stage, but if you call them a character, now you're a character
You're
actor.
A genius.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you'll hear some of those bits on Saturday.
So you're going to continue to do anime.
Yeah.
Are you going to continue the Whiskey Brothers podcast?
I am going to do that. I'm going to still dip my beak a little bit. So we're still going to do the Whiskey Brothers podcast. Available at praisewhiskey.com. Not safe for work.
No,
over 3.5 million downloads.
We're definitely still not safe for work. Big time Whiskey Brothers podcast.
Yeah. We just released our own brand of whiskey. We ran out of that. We sold out of that. We'll have
really?
Jeez. Yeah. We had a place. I don't know if I can say the name.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
Old Humble Distillery.
Okay.
Up here in town.
Yeah.
They made Whiskey Brothers whiskey. And so we
That's
had
outstanding.
We had a whole barrel. And,
we have
we
a
sold
whole
out
station
of
people that don't drink whiskey here.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
all
good.
They're
Lord,
all
good,
love good upstanding.
Yeah. Everybody loves.
I can't believe my teeth are rotting out of my head. I have my own whiskey.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Now, did you do the Blitz? Because I know Slade was here, or was it Sam? I don't know. Were you with them when they did the Blitz to promote Whiskey Brothers stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I came when Slade was trying to hawk his book.
There you go.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
It's available at some of the finer truck stops around the country.
Gonna have
available in your Half Price books right now
as a release.
Yeah, as a new release.
That's like that's the straight to DVD version of books.
Yeah.
You go to Half Price and Loves.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He just took them in there. He slipped. Actually, he was selling some of his own books.
He's on consignment.
And he put 10 of his own on there. Oh, look at these extra ones I forgot that I brought to you. Here, sell
here's
my book.
50.
Does he charge for the signature when he goes, hey, I'll sign that for you for an extra $10?
Yeah, you, do I have a quick story?
Yeah, signature? Absolutely.
I was traveling years ago doing comedy, going through that I-10 corridor. You know, you do all the places up through Alabama and stuff. And I was on my way to Florida. And I stopped outside of New Orleans to get gas, right? And so I get the gas. I'm going to make it to my gig. Full tank of gas. I'll be coming in there. I get an hour and a half down the road, and I realize I don't have my wallet. I've left my wallet back at the gas station. So I look at the receipt, and there's a phone number. I call them. Yeah, it's here. I'm already almost to the gig. You know, I'm 3 hours out. I can't turn around. I'm going to be late. So I say, look, all right, just mail me my wallet. Here's the hotel I'm staying in. They say, okay. So I'm driving along, and I like realize, wait a minute, I don't have any money, and I still need to get gas before I get to Florida. What am I going to do? So I'm looking at my car, and I look at the back, and there's some of my anime DVDs in the back, probably 10 of them. And so I was, pawn shop right over there. So I go to the pawn shop, walk in with my DVDs of something, you know, it's some awful anime. It's like, you know, I don't know, just Giant Killers 3 or whatever. Anyway. And so I go in there and I go, hey, I'd like to sell these. And they go, what is it? It's anime. And they go, I don't know. Some guy from Alabama in a pawn shop. You know, he sells
cartoons,
guns.
Boy.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know what this is. It's like, well, you know, you can. So he looks it up and he goes, oh, okay. I can give you $4 each. I went, hey, that'll get me there. I go, hey, you know what? I'm in these. I'll tell you what I do. Why don't I sign them? He goes, oh, you're in this, huh? I said, yeah, I'll sign them. How about that? He goes, yeah, you sign them. I'll give you three. I actually lost value.
Signing your own DVDs.
Yeah. You know, if you sign it, then it's ruined. It's in the package. It's worth four. But if you take the package off to shine it, you lose a dollar. And you didn't see the brilliance.
That is outstanding. 28 years in comedy.
Yeah.
What's the most horrific thing that's ever happened to you on stage? Because can I share mine first?
Sure.
Because it's not with me. Uh-huh. It's the most horrific thing that I've seen in comedy, and it happened to you.
Happened to me.
Do you remember at Rudyard's during an open mic, you were hosting.
Okay.
And there was a lady in the front row that was just hammered drunk.
Yeah.
You remember anything?
Vaguely.
Not yet?
Not yet.
So you called her the C word because she wouldn't stop heckling.
Captain.
Captain.
Yeah.
She wouldn't stop heckling. You warned her. You were nice.
Yeah.
You gave her like several different times between comics. Uh-huh. So then you took the mic out of the stand and just proceeded to roast her.
Yeah.
She stood up, approached the stage, and threw her drink at you.
Yeah, that's
glass
true.
Glass and all.
I do remember that, yeah.
And you dodged it like the Matrix.
Yeah.
There's a full glass of scotch that comes flying at Rob Bungle, and he just shoulder shimmies out of the way.
Yeah.
It hits the back wall and explodes.
And I kept going.
And Rob
just
goes,
kept let me tell you another thing, Captain. Stupid Captain.
It was the
wow. And it was a glass.
Yeah, she threw the glass at me.
And I was next.
Yeah, follow that.
And I went up and didn't know what to do or say. I was still pretty new. I was like a year or two in. And then the funniest reaction was actually after me was Zach Dixon. And he walks up and he gets the mic from me and he goes, sorry about my mom, y'all. I had nothing. I didn't know why. Yeah. I just did my jokes like an idiot.
Yeah.
And no one laughed, of course.
I remember,
like, they were like, you're not going to address what just happened?
I did a show one time with a girl, this mean Hulk captain woman. Yeah. She stands up and she was yapping. And so I was going on some kind of bit and I talked about another ugly woman that I had seen like in a Walmart. And I'm discussing, this ugly woman. And the captain gets up and starts walking out. And she's looking at me and go, oh no, I'm sorry. It wasn't you. It was another ugly woman. But not that you're not ugly. Don't get me wrong. You're a miserable vile garbage person.
Captain.
Yeah. Hope you die in a fire. Die in a fire made of AIDS. That's what I say.
That is outstanding.
I want to make a fire of AIDS.
And I swear to God, if you've ever seen Rob Mungo, you know that all that is true. And yeah. That is absolutely.
Yeah.
Where can the people go to get tickets to your show?
The Secret Group. I think it's Secret Group, HTX.com. Yeah. If you search The Secret Group. And we've got a band called Dash Rip Rock out of New Orleans, Louisiana. They're going to be playing. And we've got complimentary whiskey.
Are you on the Twitters?
Yeah, I was going to say, Twitter handle?
I am on the Twitter.
All right, do this. Tweet out ticket info and all that, and we'll all retweet it for you.
Absolutely.
There you go. Cool. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
Thank you. Mungo, thank you so much. Hope the mouth heals up before
I'm going to go self-medicate. Salt water.
Yeah. Rob Mungo, ladies and gentlemen. Catch him if you can Saturday night. And if you can't, it might be too late. So make sure you get this performance. We're going to be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you guys taking us out on the go, and appreciate Rob Mungo coming in studio, especially considering the circumstances as he spent a little time with us. Everybody was very, very complimentary on the text line, social media. It was fantastic to have him in here. Good times. Hopefully his show goes well on Saturday night.
Pink Valkyrie said, can we get a Rob Mungo hour of stories? He's full of stories. When you do comedy 28 years and anime and everything else, you're going to have stories.
I wanted him to stick around for another segment because you told the moment that you remember, but I wanted him, after all that time in comedy, there had to be a good story good and a good story bad.
Yeah, it sucks that, we're not. He's probably has at least 10. He literally could have a whole hour of just telling funny stories that happened to him, I'm sure. But that's all the more reason, like, if you enjoyed it, you got to get out there and support it. Like, go watch the show. Slade Ham's going to be on it because I asked him who's doing the show with him. It's the Whiskey Brothers. It's Mungo. It's Slade. It's Sam Damaris. You're not going to want to miss any of that. So get out there and check it out. Secret Group. I think it's secretgroup.htx.com.
And does he live here now?
Yeah, he's in Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always been a Houstonian.
Yeah, because he was with the whiskey deal and everything like that. At least, because, most people, if you're not from here, you don't know how to pronounce humble, right. Let alone give people directions around town.
So, yeah, it is thesecretgrouphtx.com for tickets. Plus, they have a ton of good shows, too. So,
get that dude on the Whiskey Podcast.
The Whiskey Neat Podcast?
The podcast that they do here?
Whiskey Neat.
Yeah. Get him on there. No?
Isn't that, I feel like that would be...
talking about his whiskey. I don't know.
That would be like us doing the Unusual Suspects podcast. Like, he already does the Whiskey Brothers, and then if he does Whiskey Neat,
I'm talking about promoting his own whiskey.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
That's all I was thinking. I'm just doing it from a marketing perspective, Chief.
My bad.
It's all right.
No, not my strong suit.
All right. So we were rolling around. We got to the Astros.
Yep.
And Ron Culpa.
A couple texts, because, obviously we'd spent a lot of time. Highwaymen's a great movie. Damn good. Thanks for the heads up on that. Awesome show, Suspects. So they'll be ready to talk about it on Monday. So if you missed it, we've talked about
what? What? No, I was just listening to you say that we were going to be ready to talk about it on Monday.
Yeah.
Because Nick and I were talking about just how we're anxious.
Get out
we couldn't
of here.
Wait to get that thing going.
Stop it. Monday, we'll talk about The Highwaymen. It's our Usual Suspects movie club. We're going to do it a couple times a month. So the second one, really, we watched The Dirt, but if you want in on it, we'll watch The Highwaymen on Netflix. Somebody said, are we doing like all kinds of movies, like, Avengers Endgame?
No.
I think we should just stick to Netflix. I don't want to have to go to the movies.
Well, that would be difficult for me.
That's what I'm saying. That makes it even, and I'm not a go to the movies guy. I'll do it like if I'm on the road, bored, killing time, but I'd rather just watch it at home in the comfort of my own home.
I'm with you. We talk about going to the movies all the time. We just never do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Did any suspects get any tickets from Booker T to go to New York for a Hall of Fame induction? Titan Hugo. No idea, Hugo. I don't know that.
Text is sell. Oh, you just did.
I listen to you guys every day. Love the show. Thank you. Y'all ever going to announce the weight loss winners, or did I miss it? You missed it. And
if you haven't heard from someone by now, chances are probably didn't get that staycation.
Yeah.
Can you guys podcast the interview by itself on the podcast arena? I guess with Mungle. Got a Mungle fan out there that wants the... Okay, yeah, so that'll happen.
There you go.
There you go.
Ask and you shall receive, as long as you're nice to us.
That's right.
If you're not, well, you know. Suck it!
My nickel.
I already paid you.
Oh, that's right. You have a few.
I had credit. So there you go. Credit.
Okay.
Back off.
Good point.
Thank you. So with that being said, and we also got to the Rockets a little bit, but the most important thing for the Rockets is, look, we kind of joked about it, but there's an outside chance they can get to two in the West. Because now you got that stretch where we were talking about the home and home, Portland and Denver. If Denver should make a statement and they take care of business with the Blazers twice, it's in the Rockets' wheelhouse that, again, we talked about. They probably would have to run the table. But if they run the table, there's a chance they could catch the Blazers.
It ain't happening. No, you mean the Nuggets, and it's not.
I'm sorry, the Nuggets.
They're not catching the Nuggets.
We'll see.
You think the Blazers are going to win two in a row from the Nuggets? Because then that would mean the Blazers probably leapfrog the Rockets, right?
No, I'm saying I think the Nuggets can take two from the Blazers.
Oh.
And if the Nuggets take two from the Blazers, especially if McCollum's not back, then the Rockets could put the Nuggets in their sight for the two spot. And they do have the tiebreaker over the Nuggets.
How? If the Nuggets are winning and the Rockets are – I mean, even if the Rockets are winning, if the Nuggets keep winning, they're not catching them.
Yeah, so they'll just wrap up the three spot.
Yeah, they would. The Nuggets would be doing them a favor for the three spot.
Yeah.
So the question is, would you rather the Blazers beat up on the Nuggets to give you a shot at the two spot, but then you might get leapfrogged by the Blazers?
I was thinking that if the Nuggets – Nuggets could – the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets will take care of business with the Blazers, especially with McCollum out and Nurkic out. So I think that it's pretty much like you and I said the other day. I believe that it's going to be Golden State 1, Denver 2, Rockets 3, Portland 4.
Okay,
yeah, that's my fault.
All right,
but at least there's lots of races to watch because now, based on what happened with Oklahoma City and then the Spurs, Popovich gets thrown out 63 seconds into a game.
Yep.
Last night, Spurs now are in the 8th spot. Oklahoma City's a half game up on the 7th spot. If you're the Warriors, you're loving every bit of that because you don't want to see Oklahoma City in round one.
More surprising.
Unless you're Barry Laminack.
More surprising. Pop getting thrown out earlier, A.J. Hinch?
A.J. Hinch.
That was more surprising?
No question. Because you know what? Pop's not
afraid.
That's
the second time this week for Pop, though.
But again, sometimes we don't know his motives and sometimes we know his thinking. But Pop's one of those loose cannons that can go off. A.J. Hinch is always so even keel. That's why they made such a big deal about it, him getting thrown out alone, let alone in a preseason game.
So I agree. A.J. Hinch is even keeled. But he's also kind of a smartass, though, right? Like, he'll say things like, I shouldn't say smartass. That's not the right way to describe A.J. Hinch.
Sarcastic?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, you know, I told him, you know, they have technology that can help you with your balls and strikes.
Or
that's being pretty sarcastic to an umpire.
Angel Hernandez says he normally blows four calls a game, and I told him he's already over the limit.
You don't have to go out and, you know, yell at an umpire to get thrown out and be mean. And you going out and say, hey, you know, Angel, they have technology that can help you with your balls and strikes. That's going to get you tossed just as going out and talking about his mother. So I think you're right. It's a little surprising, but I don't know. 63 seconds into a game is pretty quick. That's a pretty quick hook for anybody.
But we know Pop's crotchety.
Yeah,
he's got his hot button.
Not 63 seconds crotchety.
But I also think if you watch the tape, he's shocked he got tossed. Because just like we talked about yesterday with NBA superstars, we were talking about Kevin Durant, and we said NBA superstars think once they get the first one, they can get a few more in because they're not going to get tossed. Pop, as a coach, thought the same thing, but he got a young official.
So you're changing your answer is what you're telling me.
No. He figured he wasn't going to get tossed.
I asked you what was more surprising, A.J. Hinch or Pop? You said A.J. Hinch.
Right. I still think it's more surprising. But you said
Pop
didn't know.
I mean, I think everybody was surprised.
I'm telling you what I thought happened with Pop.
You just said Pop was surprised he got tossed. I mean, I get Hinch. You're arguing balls and strikes. That's going to get you thrown out.
But overall, big picture, I don't think Hinch gets tossed because he doesn't get tossed hardly ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think from Popovich's perspective, what I thought happened last night was Pop didn't think he was going to get tossed because normally after you get the first, you don't get the second.
Mm-hmm.
He just got more than he bargained for with a young official.
All right, we'll get more than you bargained for in cash back when you get Upside, because this app is totally free to download. And look, you're spending money. If someone offered you money while you're buying something, you're not going to turn it down, right? Well, then why would you not be using Get Upside?
It's a free app to download. Put it on your phone, iTunes, Google Play. It's out there. Go download it. Put it on your phone. Put in promo code Barry. B-A-R-R-Y is the promo code. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first purchase of gasoline. That's what you can get through Upside. You can get Upside. You get gasoline and you can get food. And they've got hundreds of restaurants around the city where you can use the app and get cash back up to 35%. This is, I'm not talking about, oh, you get 5 cents back when you buy $50 worth of food at Popeyes. No, you can get up to 35% cash back. That's a lot. Even if you just got 20% back, if you did that 5 times in a week, guess what? That's a free meal. Why would you leave that money at the table or the counter when you're at Popeyes or Wendy's or Burger King or any of the other restaurants that are inside the Get Upside app? Also, why would you leave up to 25 cents a gallon at the pump when you're filling up? You're already buying gas. You might as well benefit from it. Download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that extra savings up to 30 cents a gallon or 25 cents a gallon without the promo code, even more with it. And get that cash back. We've got listeners at $9 after, $90, $40 within a week or two, $200. Guys, do not leave money at the pump. Do not leave money at the table. Download Get Upside. Get the cash back. Thank me later. And do not touch that dial. This is The Usual Suspects. We're back in 2 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.